Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing the second part of the message a couple weeks ago on the character of Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 26, our Bible lists for us the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight to open your precious word. We pray that as we study of your character and who you really were on this earth, Lord, that you would help us to see that you want to live a life out through us, and we are to yield ourselves to you, and we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is part two of that subject of what kind of person Jesus Christ was when he was here among us and so many years ago. You know, we sing, oh, to be like him. But what does it really mean to be like him? We're told to follow his example. We're told to follow in his footsteps and to emulate him and to be conformed into his image. But to be conformed into his image is also about allowing him to have control in our life and for us to conform also to his character. And he does live in us, and he desires to live his life out through us. We already mentioned 2 weeks ago that to be like Jesus, Jesus was holy. He's called the holy and the just one. Peter called him in a famous sermon. And he's holy because he was born without a sin nature. Amen? Born of the Virgin Mary. Supernaturally born without an earthly father. And never had a bad thought because he was born holy and pure and without a sin nature, without a deprived nature like we were born with through the blood. And because we're all related to Adam. But Jesus was the second Adam. Born without any sin, never had a bad thought, never had a bad day. Amen? Never lied, never got jealous, never threw a tantrum, I believe. He was just perfect in every way. He never mocked anyone. He never spoke out of turn. He never said anything under his breath for somebody to hear to get them upset. He was the Spirit-filled Son of God, and he was holy, we mentioned. And he has given us his new nature. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he didn't make us over. He made us brand new. He's given us his Spirit. And before Jesus Christ, we didn't really bother fighting temptation. But you know you're saved because there's always a tug of war going on, good against evil, right against wrong, amen, left against right, if you know, depending on your political status, I don't know. Pray for our country. This is a big election, and we just pray for God's will to be done and for God to have mercy on this country. But we mentioned that Jesus Christ was holy. That was a part of his character. And we also said that he was loving. Oh, how our Lord was loving and is loving. It's a part of his character. He didn't have to work at it. Amen? You read the New Testament, he was just personified by his love and his compassion for others. He showed his love in two ways. He showed his love for the Father, and he showed his love also towards man. We mentioned also 2 weeks ago that there are other things that he loved. He loved children. He loved them, and he even scolded his disciples when they tried to keep children from coming to him to be blessed by him. And some of the most wonderful scriptures in the New Testament dealing on the subject is when Jesus would gather them together and to talk to them and to bless them. And so he loved children, and he loves We mentioned also he loves the church. Jesus Christ loves the church and he gave himself for it. That's why we should love the church. Amen? Amen. That's why we come to church. We want to love the things that Jesus loves. And he loved the church. He gave himself for it. He had an inner circle of the 12, three of them, that he loved specially. And he loves all of his children, but he loves those especially, those that listen to him and yield to him and want to obey him. And he has his own way of showing us his love for us each day. And so we also mentioned that not only does he love his children, but he loves those that are not his children. He loves sinners. That's a part of his character. That's what kept him to the cross. That's what kept him dying on the cross and shedding his last ounce of life and shedding his precious blood, because he loves lost sinners and those that are not saved. And he wants them to repent. He wants them to believe the gospel. I saw a bumper sticker. Maybe you've seen one like this in the past. And it says, God loves you, but I'm working on it. That's kind of an honest statement of, we have to learn how to love, most of us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Getting saved is a big deal. And for some of us, there's a lot to overcome. Maybe when we got saved, we had a bad temper. Maybe we had bad language. Maybe we had bad habits. And when we get saved, God starts making changes in our lives. Amen? And those are all good changes. We mentioned that God's love is unconditional, without strings attached. That's so different from man's love. Man's love has limits. Man's love has components to it. Can be turned on and off. But you know, God's love, the love that we mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, is without measure and is unconditional. And that's the kind of love that we possess with having Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the kind of love we have in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And when we yield ourselves to the Lord, he is able to touch others through us by that unconditional love when we're filled with his Spirit. And so we did mention that he is love, he is holy. We mentioned also that he loves souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The real person is the soul. Amen? A million years from tonight, our soul is still going to be around. It's going to be in one of two places. It's going to be in eternal bliss or it's going to be in hell. But our soul is the real us. And Jesus loved the souls of all men. And if we're filled with his Spirit, we're going to love souls also. Because that's the heartbeat of Christ. That's the heartbeat of the local church, reaching out to others and caring about their souls. You know, people in the Pentecostal movement, they make a lot of noise, but a lot of them don't show any love to their fellow man. And so it's one thing to say praise the Lord and one thing to say you love Jesus, but if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to love souls. We're going to be thinking about people. We're going to be praying for people. That's one of the things I love about our church, is people love one another here and show it. Amen? And they pray for one another and they encourage one another. And it's always a special part, I think, of a Community Baptist Church. But when we're filled with the Spirit, we will witness to people, because we can't contain it to ourselves. It will just happen. We will give out the gospel. The Holy Spirit will compel us to think of others during the week. And we mentioned also of the character of Jesus, that he won people to himself one at a time. Yes, he spoke to multitudes, but he also dealt with individuals. One at a time, he talked to them and won them over to himself. He loved souls. He wept over Jerusalem. We mentioned also that his compassion was always present. When he was going from point A to point B, he would often stop along the way because of a physical need of someone or a spiritual need of someone or someone stopping him to ask a question. He was never too busy to deal with the situation that unfolded right before his eyes. It was because of his compassion. He often had compassion in his interaction with people. His character showed that he was prayerful. I'd like you to look at Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7 gives us a scripture verse on his prayer life, shows us a glimpse of his prayer life. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus Christ prayed in earnest and agony before he went to the cross of Calvary. And we mentioned also in the last time in our study that Jesus prayed many times into the night. And there were times he prayed all night. He prayed before miracles and he prayed after miracles. He prayed before he chose the 12 and he prayed before he sent them out. Jesus Christ was in constant fellowship with his heavenly Father, but he prayed much publicly and in private. And he prayed before his baptism and he prayed during his temptations, and he prayed before, as I said, performing miracles. And he also told certain people that he was praying for them. You remember he said, "But Peter, Satan wants to have you. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." Amen? So on occasions he would say, "I'm praying for you." You know, that's a good characteristic of a Christian. We should be able to say that to people and mean it. Amen? "I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister." And then pray for them. Amen? You know, they got a special need. That's one of the blessings and the benefits of church membership and having Christian friends, is that you've got a real support group when you're going through difficulty. And we all have our share of difficulties, as I said this morning. We all have our share of valleys and mountaintops. I'll take the mountaintop any day over the valley, but we need the valley. We learn more in the valley. The valleys are precious, and in the valleys we grow. But we all love the mountaintops when things are good, when everything seems rosy, and when all of our prayers are answered and we have joy and we're getting along with everyone. It doesn't seem like there's a cloud in the sky, but we all have our share of valleys, that's for sure. But Jesus, his character, part of his character was that he was prayerful. And our children need our prayers. Amen? Our grandchildren need our prayers. Our family needs our prayers. Those in our Sunday school class need our prayers. Your pastor needs your prayers. Our church officials need your prayers. Our president, God help him, needs our prayers. Our Congress and Senate, God bless them, they need our prayers. Our military needs our prayers. Amen? Jesus prayed often, but was always in continued fellowship with his heavenly Father. I'm reading a new book about last words of saints and sinners by Herbert Lockyer. And I just have a couple of quotes here. Last words of people on this earth. Oscar Wilde was an Irish author, and he died in 1900. His last words on earth, he said, "I am dying as I have lived, beyond my means." Then he closed his eyes and gave up the ghost. Thomas Paine was a famous atheist of his time, and his last words were just a terrible way to go out of this world. William Wordsworth was a British poet of the 19th century, and his daughter died before he did. And it's sad when children die before their parents. Amen? It just doesn't seem natural, doesn't seem logical, but sometimes it happens. It is said that his daughter's name was Dora, and they were very close as father and daughter. And when she died, it is said that he had planted several hundred daffodils around her grave. He missed her so much, he would visit the grave every day. His last words were this: "Is that you, Dora?" He thought he saw her. I wonder sometimes if God allows us to see on our journey, maybe someone coming to greet us. I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's impossible, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. But the character of Christ, he was prayerful. His words counted. He made the most of his words, that's for sure. But he was meek in character. Meek is the opposite of harshness. He was not contentious with people, except for the religious Pharisees, the hypocrites, those that were religious leaders that were just all smoke and mirrors, no substance. Whited sepulchers, he called them. He got along with everybody else except for the religious crowd that resisted him and rejected him. Everything in the temple pointed to him, and those that knew their Old Testament would have welcomed him as the Messiah. But for the majority, we know that they resented him and put him to death. But I recently attended a funeral of a relative, and the religious leader was expected at the wake. And people waited and people waited and people waited, and he never showed up. And the poor funeral director was left to just recite the Lord's Prayer and then dismissed everyone to go to the cemetery. And I thought, what a terrible thing to do, to not even show up. And then he left a message saying, I'll meet you at the cemetery. And then we got in this traffic jam. It was like an hour and a half long. And I'm wondering, you know, if he did stick around for that. But boy, if there's any place in this world that people should be sincere, it should be in the ministry. Amen? Working with people. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, talking about the character of Christ, what it was really like. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Christ portrayed meekness in his life. And it's the opposite of being harsh with people. And Jesus was meek in what he did. In Matthew chapter 12, we have an illustration of what the Lord was like in his personal life and dealing with people. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 20, there is a symbolism here of his character. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 20. And notice verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. He shall not break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax. What does that mean? You know, it's easy to smile at people that are strong and happy. Jesus smiled at the weak. He was friendly to all people. That's a pretty good goal for us, isn't it? To be friendly to those that we don't even know. To smile at everybody. Not only did he not break a bruised reed, but he strengthened it. A bruised reed conveys the idea of weakness. Or a state of weakness. He helped weak people get stronger. And that's the goal, you know, of the local church, is to help people. And the smoking flax is like a wick of a candle. You know, when the flame goes out, it smokes. And it's the smoking. It is smoking, it's not giving light when it's smoking. And the smoke can be irritating to those that are near it. I mean, it can get in your eyes. You know, sometimes weak Christians can be irritating. Sometimes new Christians can be irritating. Sometimes older Christians can be irritating. But you know, the one thing good about a smoking flax is that it can be lit easily again, very quickly. And sometimes you see folks come to church and they're all worn out from the week, and they're not very happy. They just barely make it to the pews. And about the second song, the second hymn, I start to see smiles on their faces. Amen? And we get re-energized again as we come here and as we contemplate the things of God and start to worship and hear the great songs of the faith and see brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful place to be. Amen. To shake hands with somebody who loves Jesus after you've been in the world all week long and heard his name cursed and blasphemed and seen terrible things, and to come here and with God's people, it's just a great, great blessing. But Jesus Christ has special care for the weak, and that's the symbolism of it. And real grace can never be blown out. You know, someone who's born again, they have their difficulties, they have their ups and downs, but real grace, saving grace, sees you through, gets you through. And sometimes it just takes a very little bit to get us going again. It only took a look from Jesus to Peter to bring him around again. Remember at the trial, the cock crowed and Peter realized the prophecy of Christ, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then he looked over to where the Lord was, and the Lord just looked at him, and that's all it took. And old Peter repented and he felt bad and went out and prayed and wept, and he got right with God again. Amen? Just by a look. And so Jesus' character is one of meekness. And it's kind of like a weak boat over in the ocean trying to make shore. It takes a lot of effort. Last time I went fishing with Charlie Horton, it was kind of like that. One of the lines got stuck in the back of the boat, and it stopped the engine, and we were about 50 yards from shore, and he had two oars that didn't fit anything. And you saw three guys just trying to make shore. And I tell you, that's an experience I don't want to ever live again. And we worked hard, and finally we got close enough where one of us could jump out, get wet, and to pull the boat in. And so I let Brother Ray Dombeck have that privilege. He jumped out and got into water waist deep and pulled the boat to the shore, and we were able to untangle ourselves and to get the engine started again. But there's a big difference in going to shore that way and going with a really nice, you know, stout ship and one that pierces through the waves, amen? And a weak faith will get you to heaven, but it's better to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might when the Lord helps us. And but we all have our ups and downs in the Lord, and meekness was a part of his character, that's for sure. A missionary asked us, a class of young boys, one day, who are the meek that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew that shall inherit the earth? The boy answered, those who give soft answers to rough questions. Pretty good answer, amen? Amen. And so meekness is a part of his character. Sometimes it's the soft answer that turns away anger. It's the answer sometimes that starts the argument. If we answer someone the wrong way, you can start World War III in your own house and not even know it, amen? So let's keep that in mind this week. The soft answer turns away wrath. And let's try to be yielded to the Lord in our dealings with people. And thank God for his character that lives inside of us. Amen? And so let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. We do have a time of fellowship downstairs tonight. And we have some refreshments and a meal. Also, let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege to come together tonight as we just think about you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for who you are, and Lord, that you live in us. Help us to yield ourselves to you, Lord, each day. And we thank you for all that you are and all that you are to us. Bless our time of fellowship, and also bless the food and refreshment and the hands that prepared it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.